Yeah, I came across this magazine. It's I get it at home. It's called I think The World of Wonders, and it's a magazine that purports to show the relationship of Torah and science. And so anyhow, they had an article in there. So they had a prominent picture of Ben Franklin. Right away catches your attention, you know, a magazine like that with a picture of Ben Franklin. So, oh, by the way, the title is The World of the Universe, I think, or something, The World of Wonders, something like that, one of those titles. And then it says, An Exploration of the Universe Through the Insights of Torah. Okay, that's the title. I'll comment on the title a little bit later. So anyhow, so they had this article, so it has a picture of Ben Franklin, and it talks about Ben Franklin's discovery of the lightning rod. And within it, you know, it talks about what a wonderful discovery, and Ben Franklin, and all these nice things. And then it mentions like it's if I think if I recall the article is written as if there's like a somebody asking questions and somebody responding. So the interviewer asks, "Is Ben Franklin the first one to realize this? You know, to discover this, whatever?" And they said, "No." Then, in fact, if you take a look in a Tosefta in Gemara Shabbos, there the Tosefta is talking about which things are considered Darkei Amori. Which things are considered Darkei Amori. And it, of course, it gives an extensive list of things that are Darkei Amori and those things that are not considered Darkei Amori and therefore are mutter. Okay? And in there, in the end of Perek Zion, it says, this is what the article says, it says that if you place a metal amongst the Ephrochim, that this is considered Darkei Amori. But if you do it because of thunder or lightning, then it's mutter. Okay? Now, yeah, so he quotes the Tosefta, although I have to tell you when he quoted Tosefta, and I'll come back to this point again also, when he quotes the Tosefta, he doesn't quote the idea, he doesn't mention in the article anything about the thunder. He just says the lightning. He says if you put metal just amongst the Ephrochim, amongst the chicks, so then it's Darkei Amori, but if you do it, if you put it there because of the lightning, then it's mutter. So he said, you see that the Chazal knew about the lightning rod, and therefore they didn't consider it Darkei Amori. Not, of course, he says, this is in no way to take away from what Ben Franklin did, because quite frankly, if we wouldn't have known about Ben Franklin and his discovery, most of us would have read this Tosefta and let's say made fun of it or said it doesn't make any sense. But now that Ben Franklin has shown this, now we see that Chazal, you know, were way ahead of the game, and they what they said makes absolute sense and is proper and whatever. And then he ends off the article saying, and of course this should be our approach to all Divrei Chazal like this, that when we come across something that doesn't make sense to us, you know, realize that there's probably something very deep there that we just haven't discovered it yet, and you know, eventually we will understand how it all makes good sense. Okay? That's the gist of the article. Gist of the article. Yeah. So I just want to point out a couple of things. See, the first thing that struck me when I opened up the Tosefta was the fact that the Tosefta says, Im mipnei hara'amim ve'im mipnei habarak. In other words, it has both. either because of thunder or because of lightning. That struck me. Okay, that struck me. So, but as you know, when I was talking over with Danny and Rebbe, so you know, we realized that's a tip off. But you know, there's a basic problem here. In other words, what I told them was that I didn't believe at all that Chazal really understood the phenomenon as Ben Franklin understood the phenomenon. In other words, Ben Franklin really understood the phenomenon. He understood electricity. He understood that lightning is a type of electricity, knew that electricity is conducted through metal, and therefore surmised correctly that metal will attract lightning. See, there was a certain, and I'm not kidding, telling you his total knowledge there, but I mean, there was some knowledge right away that you see that Ben Franklin had about the nature of things. Whereas what it struck me right away is that the fact that Chazal say Ra'amim and lightning tells me that they didn't really understand the nature of it. They just saw some kind of a correlation that less Ephrochim were harmed when there was a lightning rod present in the field. Because they didn't see a difference between Ra'amim and lightning. Okay? But of course you could say to me, maybe you're being too picky. Maybe when they mean Ra'amim, so they mean Ra'amim and lightning. I mean, you could say that, but it doesn't seem that way for the Tosefta. Tosefta is Ra'amim, Omipnei HaBarak. But there's a more clinching argument that shows that is the correct problem in terms of the Tosefta, which is, if Chazal really understood the nature of lightning, then why didn't they use it to try to save human beings? That's why do they limit it to putting it out in the field? Because all they're saying is it's not Darkei Amori if you put it out because of Ephrochim, which simply means, like the Rambam explains in the Mora, that in order for it not to be Darkei Amori, either you have to understand the thing logically, as you really understand the nature of it, like in a real scientific sense, okay, or you know it through experiment. Like the Rambam has a case, like he says, why is like putting, I don't know what they used to do with the tooth of a fox. He says, why isn't that considered Darkei Amori? He says, because in those days, it was, in their minds, experimentally verified. And that's enough. In other words, experimentally verified is already a type of reason. It's not considered Darkei Amori. You can't say that the person is relying on some kind of superstitious, irrational thinking. Even though the guy doesn't understand the nature of it, but so what? He sees logically through experiment that there's a correlation. That is considered enough, halachically and philosophically, according to the Torah, not to be considered Darkei Amori, the ways of the Amorite, you know, the type of Avodah Zarah type of thinking. So that's all the Tosefta says. The Tosefta says if you do it, harez them mutter. But if they really understood it like Ben Franklin, then they would have said, every it's Roy or even maybe Chayev, for every Jew to put it on his home. Or they should put it in places where people gather during lightning, or whatever the case may be. They should have, why are they only worried about Ephrochim? Then it shows a tremendous callousness, that they care about Ephrochim, but they don't care, they know about the nature of this thing, but they only care about Ephrochim, they don't care about human beings. That's impossible. Elamai, the only answer really is, that they didn't really understand the nature of it. And they saw only the correlation out in the field with Ephrochim. So they thought that this thing, it worked somehow to save little birds. But they had no idea how it works and it should be applied to human beings. That didn't exist in their mind. They had no idea how this thing worked, what its connection was. That's why it's thunder or lightning. They just knew when these bad astronomical events happen, somehow the little things in the field get saved or whatever, the chicken coop gets saved when you have a lightning rod. You know what I mean? But they didn't know how it works at all. They just knew metal. Metal somehow keeps wards off the problem. But it's not considered Darkei Amori because there's a correlation. So I would say that is the correct response as far as the approach of that article. And therefore, I wouldn't start learning anything bigger other than the fact that the only thing you can learn from that is not to say that whatever Chazal say will eventually science will show make sense. But rather, what you say, the bigger picture is that Chazal either say something's mutter because of reason, or they say something's mutter because of correlation. Either way, avoids Darkei Amori, even if it's completely false by today's standards. That makes no difference. That's not a reason to, in any way, criticize Chazal. That's the bigger picture you see from that. Nothing more, nothing less. So anyhow, that's the... And I would say, getting back, I said I would get back to the thing. That's why one shouldn't investigate the universe through the insights of Torah. I would say that the proper method to investigate the universe are the methods of the scientific methodology, because that is the method of approaching universe. That is the way to approach the universe and to investigate it. Not to... I don't think people have made too many scientific discoveries by looking up Sukkim and finding out the nature of the universe. That is not the purpose of the Torah. The purpose of the Torah is to is the Shleimus HaAdam and bring a person to a proper relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's not there to be a textbook on the nature of the physical universe. Anyhow, that's what I want to say about that article. See, it's interesting that you see the magazine, it does one thing different than a lot of the, more Haredi camps do, which is it doesn't reject science. It takes a different approach. Except, of course, I'm sure it rejects it when it comes to certain things. But in general, that's not its approach. Its approach is to show that, it has one or two objectives. Either to show you something in the world of science, in the world of the universe that's amazing, and you should have appreciation to Hashem, which, of course, that's a good thing. But then its other thing is to show that many of the things that the science has recently discovered, Chazal knew already years ago. And that's where they get into their dangerous territory, and they have this methodology that whatever Chazal say will eventually, come out, be shown to be true. But of course we know there are many things in Chazal that simply, you can't say that. Chazal today wouldn't say that. But that's the larger problem that they have. They turn Chazal into infallible, They haven't limited it to the area of Torah and Halacha, but they've broadened it to the, to all fields. That's a danger. No. They definitely hold it like Messinai. They definitely hold Chazal know these things, Messinai. Yeah, that's why it is. That's why they have to. I think that's why they have to believe it is infallible. In other words, it's not the personalities of Chazal. That far I don't think they're saying. At least I hope they're not saying that. I think what they're saying is that Chazal, anything in the Gemara must be Messinai. Like, how did it get into the Gemara if it's not Messinai? I believe that's what they're saying. You should ask one of them to be sure, but I from what I recall, I think that's what they hold. It's like it's in the Gemara, then it's got to be. Why is it in the Gemara? If the Gemara says this is the medical thing, then this must really work. This is the whole business today. I assume that what the Tosefta means that it's for the sake of the Afrochim. Yeah, you see, it says it's a Perek Zayin Tosefta Yud. Hakoveres Afrochem Bekavra Vosenes Barza Bein Afrochem Harezim Edarki Amori. They must have thought there was something efficacious, something positive, if you put metal amongst Afrochem. So that's Midarki Amori. There's nothing helpful there. It's not like like today people wear, I don't know what they wear, like I wear a copper bracelet or something like that. Okay? Like there's no correlation, but people believe that this metal has some effect, has some good energy. So that's Harezim Edarki Amori. See, take a look at the, if you look at all the other prakim, like they have all these strange things that people did. You know, that they would only do certain things with using a virgin, or when they're naked, or only with their left hand. You know, all these kind of things, all these, the Tosefta Harei Zemidarki Amori. Okay? They have all these cases. It's a whole series of things here. I mean, it's a whole parak of Eilud Dvar Midarki Amori. That's the name of the parak in the Tosefta. So that's what I think they mean. They just, Kastam, a guy puts it there. But if he does it because of the Ra'amim or because of the Barak, then it's Mutter. Then it's Mutter. Why is it Mutter? Because Chazal saw that. There must have been some benefit. That's what the Ram says also. I'll find it. Hold on. Hold on a second. Yeah, the Rambam is in the, here, in the Mor Nevuchim, in the third Chelek, Perek Lamed Zion. And in the Friedlander edition, page 334, he says, the law prohibits everything that the idolaters, according to their doctrines, and contrary to reason, consider as being useful and acting in the manner of certain mysterious forces. As it says, neither shall you walk in their ordinances, and you shall not walk in the manner of the nations which I cast out before you. Our sages call such acts darke amori. They are kinds of witchcraft because they are not arrived at by reason, but are similar to the performances of witchcraft, which is necessarily connected with the influences of the stars. Thus, the manners of the nations lead people to extol, worship, and praise the stars. Our sages say distinctly, whatever is used as medicine does not come under the ways of the Amorite, for they hold that only such cures as are recommended by reason are permitted, and other cures are prohibited. When therefore the dictum was quoted, a tree that casts off its fruit may be laden with stone or dyed with red color, the following objection was raised. The loading of the tree with stones may be justified on the plea that it serves to weaken the strength of the tree, but why should it be permitted to dye the tree with red color? This question shows that the dyeing of a tree with red color and all similar things which are not explained by analogy from nature are prohibited as ways of the Amorite. For the same reason our sages said, the uterus of animals which have been selected for the sanctuary must be buried. It must not be suspended from a tree and not buried in the crossroad, because this is one of the ways of the Amorite. Hence you may learn how to treat similar cases. It is not inconsistent that a nail of the gallows and the tooth of a fox have been permitted to be used as cures, for these things have been considered in those days as facts established by experiment. They served as cures in the same manner as the hanging of the peony. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that word right, but P-E-O-N-Y, okay? I think it's a type of a plant. I'm not positive. Okay, over a person subject to, someone has a Google it, subject to epileptic fits, or the application of a dog's refuse to the swellings of the throat, and of the vapors of vinegar and marcasite to the swelling of hard tumors. That's why I never went to the Rambam as a doctor, with a swollen throat. Okay. All right. Tough crowd here. All right. For the law permits as medicine everything that has been verified by experiment, although it cannot be explained by analogy. You see? See, the Torah allows anything for a fua as long as it can be shown experimentally that it works, even though he means it doesn't, you don't know by analogy means you can't see any concept that would show why this should work. Like, he can't show any underlying thing there. That's what he means by analogy. The above-named cures are permitted in the same way as the application of purgatives. Learn, reader, these noteworthy lessons from this my work, and keep them, for they are a diadem of grace for thy head. Okay? So that's an important principle that the Rambam's laying down. In other words, how do you know when something will be mutter or usser according to the dictates of Darkei Amori? And the answer is, if it's determined by reason. Now, reason could be one of two things. Either you understand the essence of the thing, or you at least understand, like he says, by analogy, like there's some commonality that makes you suspect that this will work. Okay, so there's really some knowledge of the thing itself. Or you know it through experiments. You simply know it through correlation. That is also logical to follow. Either one of those is possible. So that's the... What's that? You mean you, what do you mean, like a placebo? No, placebo. That, so that, no, that would be, that would be okay. Because I'll tell you why. Because the reason why, in other words, the placebo is okay because the person who's getting it thinks they're getting some kind of real medication. So that's not darkei amori. As opposed to that the reason why they're taking this is because they believe that if you you know, take this, this is some special mysterious force that will somehow cure people. That will be darkei amori. There is the main thing is if the essential motive is that it works because of an irrational reason, and that's why he takes it, he takes such a medication, applies such a medication, that will be darkei amori. That will be the definition of darkei amori. You know, at the risk, of course, getting myself into big trouble here, I would say that's correct. I don't think that their methods of experimentation and standards of experiment would in any way match up to ours today. And that's why that although, well, you see, even the Rambam already, the way he talks about it, the Rambam knew that the tooth of a fox was not helpful. You see the way he writes it. He says, but they thought it was in their time. And you know, I should say it could be for multiple reasons, but yes, certainly one of them could be that their method of experimentation did not set it, they didn't have the same standards that would, let's say, rule out incorrect correlations like we have today. And we have, you know, we have some fairly, some more sophisticated methods and statistical analysis that will point, you know, will give us a better way to determine whether there really is a relationship. And we know, and that's right. That's why today we have many studies, and we know that although there's a correlation, of course, you don't know what the correlation is. It could be this, it could be four other factors. And that's, of course, why they have further experiments and they keep on, you know, removing, you know, what the possibilities may be. So, yeah, definitely. Definitely that would be correct. But the fact that there was, that they did it because they saw a correlation already means that they're appealing to a part of the mind. It's reason. And that's why it's mutter. That's why they said, "Arei zeh mutter." They didn't go endorse it. They didn't say you should do it. They just said it's mutter. That's all they said. As a matter of fact, that's the telltale thing with the lightning rod, you know, with the barza, with the piece of metal. They weren't giving it an endorsement. They just said it's mutter. That's all they said. It's removed from darkei amori. Doesn't even have to be right. As long as it has some reasonable correlation, that already is enough to make it mutter. Yeah, to give an example, many things aren't darkei amori. Like we just gave an example, a guy had a sore throat, and his friend made a mixture of some spice and water, and drank it. And then 2 hours later, his sore throat was feeling much better. So now another guy gets a sore throat. He says, "Oh, I saw my friend do this. I'll do this too." That's not darkei amori. That means he's using it because he saw that it worked. He saw it worked. Now, whether or not that's the best correlation, you know, okay, maybe not, but it's it is based on some kind of a reason. You can't say, "Look, I saw it work for him." Can't call it. I wouldn't call that darkei amori. Might be a little bit a little gullible, but who knows? Could be the guy hit on something. You don't know.